from the Journal of Psychiatry and Law, dated April 1st, 2010. On July 10th, 1997, Daniel Williams was arrested and charged with the brutal rape and murder of his neighbor Billy Bosco's wife, Michelle. 2 days earlier, after debarking from his Navy ship, the USS Simpson, Billy Bosco had come home to find her lying in a pool of blood on their bathroom floor, naked from the waist down and dead from strangulation and multiple stab wounds to her chest. Wells and Leo, 2008. Police soon embarked on a remarkably flawed investigation of the case that eventually led to the wrongful accusation and incarceration of seven men, an investigation and prosecution described by one writer as the present-day equivalent of such insanities as the Salem witch trials of the 1690s. Connery, 2008. See Wells and Leo, 2008 for full account of the case. Detectives elicited false confessions from four men: Daniel Williams, Joseph Dick, Eric Wilson, and Derek Tice, who would later come to be known as the Norfolk Four. Three of these men, Williams, Dick, and Tice, remain incarcerated to this day, serving life sentences despite DNA exculpations, the identification of the true perpetrator, Omer Bauert. His corroborated confession and the match of his DNA to the semen found in the victim, the fourth, Eric Wilson, who, unlike the others, had falsely confessed only to rape instead of both rape and murder, served more than 7 years before being released from prison in 2005. Three other additional innocents, Richard Pauley, Jeffrey Farris, and John Dancer, were also arrested but did not confess. Each served 7 to 10 months in jail despite capital murder charges against them were dismissed. Now, this article was titled From False Confession to Wrongful Conviction, Seven Psychological Processes, written by Richard A. Leo and Deborah Davis. They both have PhDs. Interrogation, lies, and deceit. We are at the precipice of truth. The phantom thieves framed, I sit in an interrogation room in the police station awaiting to be questioned by prosecutor Sai Nijima during a failed infiltration of her palace. Drugged with truth serum and abused, things as chaotic slowly begin falling into place. Things make sense. Welcome to the legal case of the Phantom Thieves. Welcome back to the Pain and Fools podcast. Welcome back, my Phantom Thieves. I am the Pain and Fool, and this space is for you. Welcome to the Gamer's Den. I am excited to continue on with our Persona 5 Royal/Royale for my flavored phonetic people. Welcome back. We got to just hop right into it. Where do we leave off at? We are currently in interrogation. We are recalling memories. Things are really, really tense. We're at the climax of the story, and it's now or never. We left off in the interrogation room. I entered the Velvet Room, aka that subconscious prison I was speaking to you about, with Igor, Caroline, and Justine. And they told me at the very end to recall the bonds I formed with my allies to get through this predicament. Okay, we're currently in present time, right? I'm in the interrogation room with Sai, and she says that this was an unfortunate end to a hero of justice, but she's willing to strike a deal with me in order to win the case. Now, I gotta give you a heads up. There is going to be a lot of switching between memories, past memories, switching back to the present, and I'm going to make sure that I preface all that so you're clear. Anyway, she says that I'm either going to get a life sentence or the death penalty. Then she goes on with, I'm going to read a list of people who are closest to you and this case. Tell me honestly whether or not the following are involved with the Phantom Thieves. She starts reading off all the names of my friends, of course, and I'm torn. At this point, I'm given the option of saying yes or no, like an actual option in game to either reveal the truth or hold it in. I'm like, nah, I'm not going to say anything. And I have a hunch that this is probably going to affect the progression of the story. So I just deny it. And I'm like, I don't want to risk it. She's going off of me at this point. I'm cool with that. And while she's snapping, I go back in my memory. So we have a quick adjustment to the past. And I recall a convo I had with Morgana about pancakes. And I don't remember that as the player. I don't remember that, but it could have very well happened. Or this was something as a means of bringing a new memory fresh to the player just to add more to the story. So I flash back to present and Sai's like, yo, my time is running out in here. And then I ask her if she's giving up on this case. And she's like, what? I'm not going to receive any credit for the case anyway, but why would you say that? Okay, I go right back into another memory of the past. And in this memory, Futaba, Morgana, and I are in my room conversing. And Morgana asks Futaba, so how did that thing we asked you, how did it go? Nijima mentioned a special interrogation room, didn't she? Good. It looks like we can make this work if we lure them there. And then I come back to the present. And then I ask Sai, is this what you planned? And Sai's like, what? Why are you saying such odd things? Remember, I have this truth serum injected into me, so I'm extremely hazy. So it looks like there's some, the memories that I'm recalling, I'm asking different questions, and it's confusing me, the player, and it's confusing Sai. And then Sai goes on to say, there's something that's been bothering me for some time now. Recently, I was removed from my post as the head of the investigation and told to remain on standby. Then I received word that you were caught in the act within some bizarre phenomenon. But that was all that I was told. You were told someone sold you out. Who could it have been? Now, the bizarre phenomenon she's talking about was someone caught me leaving the metaverse. So they saw me just materialize in the real world. And I think that's what she was told. All right. So then I cut to another memory. We're going back in the past. Morgana is saying, and I think in this setting, we're in that room where we were when Akechi and Makoto called us after the student panel. We were in that room. And Morgana is saying, after everyone leaves, it's just myself and Morgana. And Morgana's like, my suspicions were true in the end. To think his true intention was to sell us out. All that's left is to figure out a way to hand it over. It's all up to you, leader, the smartphone. Give him the phone without arousing suspicion. It will be easier said than done, but we're counting on you to pull this off. So I'm like, I think he's talking about Akechi. I'm mixing Morgana and Akechi together. I think he's talking about Akechi. But I'm like, you never know. Let's just stay focused because he could be talking about Dr. Maruki. I don't know because I think Dr. Maruki is responsible for this mess too. I really don't know. So I come back to the present memory and I tell Sai I remember something. The phone on the desk. There's a phone in this present moment on the desk as I'm being interrogated. Apparently, Futaba was putting some info together on a phone to show the true culprit. Now, I'm assuming that phone is the phone we're talking about. Now, while I'm continuing to talk to Sai, this voice, like it's somewhat, it just fills the room or it fills the environment. And I'm not sure if this was in my head or if this was coming from the phone. I'm not sure for certain. But the voice says, we could say he stole the guard's gun and committed suicide during his imprisonment. How about that? Public security questioning will occur on the first day, and with that room, my task will be simple. And this, the dangerous criminal responsible for the mass mental shutdowns, shall end his own life. Now, if you ask me, that voice sounded exactly like Akechi, and I tell you I don't trust him. A random bang on the door happens in the interrogation room. Sai gets up to leave. And I'm like, all right. As Sai left, I learned a new ability under, I think, the Judgment Arcana, and I forget the name of the ability, but it clearly means the game continues. She walks out, right, and Akechi is walking towards her down the hallway. And she's like, "Why are you here?" And Akechi's like, "Why do you seem so surprised?" And she's like, "I needed the director to get approval because I was responsible for this case. How did you get approval?" And Akechi's like, "The same reason you did. I am heading up the investigation team. After all, it's natural I'd have the gift to interrogate the culprit." Now I'm like, "Oh, okay. You were working with the SIU director, I'm almost certain." But then he says he was joking and he's just here to assist with the public security interrogation. So then Sai's like, "If I remember correctly, didn't you say there were another culprit besides the Phantom Thieves?" And then he says, "That was but a lie I spread to set them up. I'm sorry. I forgot that I deceived you too, Sai. After all, if you wish to trick your enemies, you must first trick your allies." There you have it. Disgusting. Now, at this point, I, the player, I'm pissed because I knew for a fact I didn't like him for a reason. And here we have it, the truth. But then again, but listen, you never know. So as all of my suspicions are starting to just pile up and they're beginning to make sense, Sai, she takes out this phone that she took from the interrogation room. And she's like, "Akechi, does this phone look familiar to you?" And when she held it out, there was like this quick shift in cognition. So it was like this quick shift in color. So the environment switched colors to like this purple color. And then he flinched a little bit. So I'm like, what does that mean? Was that like a quick switch in the metaverse, or was that like a memory? What did that indicate? She continues and she says, "It belonged to the leader of the Phantom Thieves. I believe you'll need it for your investigation." So then Akechi was like, "I was acting alongside the Phantom Thieves myself, remember?" Sai walks away, and then Akechi's face just looks darker and it grows more sinister. In walks Akechi towards my interrogation room. He asks the guard standing outside the door of the interrogation room to accompany him while he interrogates me because he doesn't trust me. So they walk inside together and everything is just seeming really weird and I don't know what to expect. I'm hoping that he's just going to say he's going to release me or give me some words to say or give me some intel or whatever the case is. But this bitch grabs the officer's gun from behind the officer, shoots the officer, killing him in front of me. Then he says to me, right, "I owe you, and that you were vital to our plan. My plan will be complete. Your popularity was truly quite stunning. That just made us all the more worthwhile." And then we switch to a cutscene. I get pissed. I'm so pissed. So the cutscene is with Akechi holding the gun in his hand, right? He says, "Have you finally pieced it all together? Case closed. This is how your justice ends." Shoots me in the fucking forehead, places the gun in my hand and walks out. So I'm genuinely stunned. No joke. I'm not saying this. I'm genuinely was shocked. I sat there, and if I could pause the cutscene, I would have, but I wasn't sure if I pressed anything, if it was going to like cut it or not. So I stood there, mouth completely ajar, just there, stunned, donezo. And I'm like, did this really just happen? So did I just spend all this money on Royale? I got the Platinum Edition too. Did I spend all this money for this game to end like this? No, it can't be. Akechi walks into the elevator. So the cutscene is still going. Walks into the elevator. Or maybe the cutscene ended. I don't remember. But he's now in the elevator, and then he gets on the phone and calls Shido. And then he says, Shido, my job is complete. Shido was like, I've told you not to call me by name. All that's left is to deal with the remnants. So Akechi says, I considered making it appear they had a falling out, but that would only amplify public frenzy. And they're talking, when Shido says the remnants, he's talking about the rest of the Phantom Thieves, the rest of my team. So then Shido says, is there any possibility they'll want to avenge their leader? Akechi's, nah, they're just cattle. They have no backbone without his guidance. I will keep my eye on them just in case, though. He says, they will live their lives cowering in their fear of death. Punishment for obstructing our work. I'm reading this verbatim, actually. So Shido says, kill that strange cat once you find it as well. But beyond that, what of the director of the Special Investigations Unit? Akechi says, perhaps he'll be struck by a mysterious illness sometime soon. Immediately do we cut to the SIU director dying on his desk, having a heart attack or something. His eyes go white, falls to the desk, head, bam, he's dead. Okay. Then, after that whole thing passes, we cut to Sai looking through the phone. She's in another part of the hallway. She's like off on this corner. Immediately as she takes out the phone and she's looking at it, Alibaba starts speaking through the phone to her, telling her that Akechi came to kill me. Alibaba then plays the audio of Akechi setting me up for a suicide and then tells Sai she must save me. So Sai's walking down the hallway. The room does this thing where it does that purple quick shift again, which gives me like metaverse, like a slight metaverse cognition shift, but it makes her, when she holds the phone, like she kind of feels a little funny. Like she grabs her head a little bit. She's like, oh, you know, after that quick little purple thing happened. And she comes back to the interrogation room and there is a guard standing outside of it. And I'm like, wait a minute, this is strange. Did this happen before Akechi came to the room? And this is like a possible ending or a possible outcome, or did this already? I don't know. Because the guard is still standing there, so I'm confused. She asks the guard if anyone stopped by the room and the officer denies it. So she says to the guard, Akechi won't be able to make it down as he's taken a sudden call. I've been asked to handle things instead. All right. Then we immediately cut over to the news. An is outside taking photos as a model, and she's looking around, and then she sees the news blown up on the screen in Shibuya that I was caught. And then they cut over to Ryuji. They cut over to Yusuke. They cut over to Futaba. Like, everyone in their own, they're pretty much living their own lives now. While I'm in the interrogation room or whatever, wherever I'm at. And Haru is also, she's in the back of the vehicle, like in her limo, with that same abusive fiance that I thought did away with him, but apparently she's back with him. I don't know what's going on. But they're all looking at the TV as the news is telling us that the culprit was caught. And then the news mentioned that I committed suicide. And then all my friends are like, no, this can't be. And they're all like, I cannot believe this. And they're all shocked. Except for Ryuji. When the camera pans towards Ryuji, he smirks. And then he says, we got him. So I'm like, all right, so this isn't the end. You know, from a production standpoint, I wonder if this could have been like an alternate ending that didn't go as planned, or maybe one of the endings. I don't know. I could be wrong. Whatever. So after Ryuji says that, then everything fades. And then I awaken in the Velvet Room, aka the subconscious prison I talked to you about. I awaken in the Velvet Room with Igor. He tells me that there was some important memories that I forgot. And he took me back to the school festival where Akechi revealed our identities to us when we were in that, I forget what that room was called, whatever that student faculty room or whatever that room was. After Akechi left that room during that time, Morgana said, something is sketchy about him. And then I told Morgana, let's do some research. So there were more memories that I've learned that were absent from the player, that were absent from me as the player. And we're still cutting to different scenes. So we cut to another scene where, and this is a memory, but we cut to this scene where Futaba and I, Morgana, were talking about something that we want Futaba to look into. And Morgana is telling Futaba to eavesdrop into their conversation. Futaba says she has a plan and whispers to Morgana, who tells her that that plan is perfect, and then they whisper it to me, but I don't hear anything because the player is supposed to be out of the whole secret. Then we cut to the interrogation room with Yusuke, Makoto, and Futaba inside. Futaba is on the floor on her laptop doing her magic, whatever she's doing, while Makoto and Yusuke just stand there, and Futaba says, I think it's going to work. You can't tell a thing. So I'm like, okay. So maybe Futaba set up a holographic room or something. I don't know, but let's just keep playing and let's figure it out. Now I'm back inside the Velvet Room after all those memories resurface. Igor then tells me that this game isn't over yet. There are still things that must be done. So I'm like, okay. I thought so because I learned a new ability. I reached my maximum confidant level with Sai. I'm like, okay, there has to be some continuation from this. Now, back to the moment where I got shot in the head. Akechi walks out the room and he walks away. The officer that was shot fades away as if he was a hologram. I fade away as a hologram, and then I appear with one leg folded over the other, just chilling with a smirk. And here I'm like, oh, I think either Futaba created a hologram of everything and tricked Akechi, or there was some type of cognitive thing, because now that I'm thinking back, we had a moment where the cognition briefly shifted in the hallway. So I'm like, okay, I'm thinking this is probably what happened. So now it's November 21st. This is the day after the whole calling card and the whole everything. The populace, they still think I committed suicide, or whoever they think the culprit was. The news didn't reveal the name of the culprit, but the news just said the culprit committed suicide. Now, I am back in the hideout, still coming to my senses because I was given that truth serum the day before on the 20th because I was sick or whatever. I was just out of it from being given that truth serum. So in the hideout, Makoto confirms that Akechi was setting us up. And Ryuji's like, nah, this is on a completely different level. This is beyond. Because, yeah, he definitely killed me, or at least he thought. But the fact that he really, really was out to kill me, like, he's dirty as hell. But he was also the culprit behind all the shutdowns. So Makoto says, if the eight of us can enter the metaverse at once, it's not inconceivable to think a larger group is possible. Because remember, there was a whole police force inside the metaverse in the shadow world. So how in the hell is that possible? Like, how would you be able to bring a whole, like, there were shadows that came up, but also full dudes in black business suits and security looking earpieces and stuff. Like, how did they enter the metaverse? Who let them in? Clearly Akechi did. There was something that happened that let them in. So this is a whole new issue. Because now you have the metaverse being exposed to a multitude of people, unless these people were all like, quote unquote, the FBI, which I think the SIU is. But that's some type of secret, top secret thing that only they have access to now. But just crazy. We're just putting all these pieces together about Akechi, and we're trying to devise a plan on how to win. Now, Sai enters LeBlanc asking Sojiro where everyone was, and then we all come down, and Sai first apologizes to Futaba for investigating her and Sojiro. And then we explain how everyone thinks I died. I also replayed when Akechi gave himself away about knowing Morgana could talk in the real world. This is like the biggest missing piece to how we knew it was Akechi. So if you remember a long time ago, you would have to listen to this episode, the episodes for maybe from like 2020. I don't remember all the way. After the TV show interview months ago with Akechi, when we met Akechi for the first time, he was doing all the interviews about the Phantom Thieves and about justice and all this silly stuff. Back when the interview was over, we left and we were in the hallway leaving to get on the elevator. Morgana was in my backpack. And Morgana asked about eating some delicious pancakes later. And Akechi turned the corner while Morgana was speaking and asked us, what did he say exactly? He said, he said something like, I could have sworn I heard something about delicious pancakes. And that was Morgana's voice. That's how we knew. Like, how could you hear Morgana if you weren't a Phantom Thief? Like, you would have known, or not a Phantom Thief, but someone with a persona or someone who has access to the metaverse. So Akechi was already in the metaverse back then. That gave it away. Futaba then bugged his phone later on, and that's how we got to where we got. I also recall that Sai's palace was also an act. Well, not necessarily the palace, but the treasure was a fake briefcase because we knew that the police were all coming based off of the time Futaba tapped the phone. So all these different pieces were not revealed to the player, but all of that was happening behind the scenes, all the way down to Sai's palace and all that stuff. And we continue talking inside the coffee shop. And then Sojiro is like, well, you now have access to just meet up at any time. I'm going to close up the shop whenever we need to. We can all meet down here versus upstairs. And this will be good. It's not like a lot of people are coming anyway. So just let me know when you want to have a major, major conversation. I'll lock up the shop and we'll be good. And I'm going to stop there because it's crazy. Pardon all my background noises. A lot of my notifications and things I didn't turn off. But I'm going to cut it there because, you know, it remains juicy. And I'm blown away by how my suspicions were correct. But now I'm curious about Dr. Maruki because, you know, he has some insight on cognitive science. And I wonder if he had any responsibility or any role in Wakaba's. Or is it Wakaba? I think it's Wakaba's. Futaba's mom. Research. I wonder if he had any role in that or if he did anything around that because, you know what I mean? It's just, I'm curious now. So we're going to pick up next Thursday about the remaining pieces of the story. And now we see that Shido is a part of this. Shido reminds me of Jeff Bezos slash the dude. He reminds me of the other guy. What was Alvin and the Chipmunks, whoever the bad guy was, but just with a baldy and like glasses with frames, with like bottom frames and almost like a ball face, just with a goatee. But yeah, I honestly thought that I messed up the story and me getting shot in the head would end it, but I guess not. And I just have hope now that there's more to go. Apparently, according to one of my Reddit people, when I asked the question, like, yo, is the game really over? They said, no, you're about 75% through, though. And I'm like, oh, that's it? 75%? I got some more time. I got more tea to spill. And yeah, so I'll be back next Thursday. So hope you guys are enjoying. Follow me on Twitter at PaintItFullPod. Find me on IG at ThePaintItFull. You can find me on YouTube. I also got some Persona 5 tarot cards, the full deck, all of the arcanas. We even got Lo Consultant. We got that one. We got the full deck. Yo, I'm hype. All right, I'll catch you next time. Peace.